You know, a lot of people talk about my dad and talk about faith, but really, that was one of his deals in love, the way he, but, you know, the biggest thing that he taught that a lot of people didn't get a hold of because they got the other, like the other stuff better, is, and I've talked to him about this, he would say that if Christians would learn who they are in Christ, they could live a whole lot better life. And so I just want to talk about that tonight. You know, sometimes in the natural, if you get in with the in crowd or get in on the no on something, you know, it's a whole lot better on the inside looking out than it is on the outside looking in. And you know, you're not disconnected anymore. And that's true in the spiritual side of understanding in Him, who we are in Him. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians 5:17, and that's the scripture that we'll use for the basis for what we teach tonight. I got several of these messages I talk about in Christ, and I'm going to use several of them the next few weeks. Each one is a teaching within itself. They're not connected. Okay, so if you miss any, you don't. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I'm going to read that from several different translations because it gives us just a little bit better understanding. It follows, it's a Knox translation. It follows, in fact, that when a man becomes, and it's talking about man here, mean mankind, everybody. It follows, in fact, that when a man becomes a new creature in Christ, his old life has disappeared and everything has become new about him. The Phillips version, for if any man be in Christ, he becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new. The Wade version, so if anyone becomes united to Christ, he is a fresh creation. The original conditions have passed away. They have been replaced by new conditions. The Living Bible. When someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person inside. He's not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Now, the expression sometimes in Christ is a little bit hard for some people to understand. And they ask, well, what do you mean by that? Well, Albert Barnes, in Barnes' Notes on the Bible, he says this, the phrase to be in Christ evidently means to be united to Christ by faith or to be in Him as a branch is in the vine. That is, so united to the vine and so in it as to derive all of its nourishment and support from it and be sustained entirely by it. In other words, we're so connected with Christ that we become one with Him. Now, Paul says, he says that Christ is the head, and we that are born again are His body. And that one, you know, our whole Christian life in Christ means to be immersed in Him to the extent that we are wholly dependent upon Christ. Paul says in Acts 17:28, in Him we live and move and have our being. In Him we live and move and have our being. that means that everything we are, everything we do, everything is in Christ. The truth is that to us that are born again, there's more to you than meets the eye. You know, there's more life, there's more power, there's more righteousness, there's more peace, there's more ability, there's more knowledge. You just need to learn to pull on it. You see, in Christ, we have everything we need to live the victorious life. Now, there are many, many people that are born again, but they are not living the victorious life because they don't understand who they are in Christ Jesus. So the first thing you need to know is that when you got born again, you became a new creation, a new person. you know, that's what it says. He is in Christ, a new creation. According to this verse, then when a person is born again, they undergo a radical change within. And anybody that knows them can see that there is a radical change. How many of you have noticed that when people get born again, there's a radical change in the way they live, act, talk, and so forth? Anybody ever notice that? Yeah. See, the Philip version there says a new person. Wade says, A.S. Wade says, a fresh creation. The Living Bible says a brand new person on the inside. Not the same anymore. Now, Barnes again goes ahead. Albert Barnes on his notes on the Bible says, no matter what a person has been before, whether moral or immoral, whether infidel or speculative believer, whether amiable or debased, sensual or polluted, yet if they become Christians, they all experience such a change as to make it proper to say that they are a new creation. You know, many Christians think that when they got bound again, all that happened, that they got their sins forgiven and they changed their destination from hell to heaven. And that's what some people think. But that's not all that happened when you got born again. You know, that did happen, all right. Yeah. But when you got born again, you became a new person in Christ, a new nature. You are not the same anymore. How many of you realize that when you become born again and you begin to live for Christ, that you weren't the same person anymore? Well, that's about half of the crowd. I'm going to ask that question again. How many of you, when you got born again, you began to realize you weren't the same person anymore? I think we got more hands that time. You know, now, one other thing that we need to know is that when we were born again, our past was done away with. I think one thing that bothers a lot of Christians a lot of times and holds them in bondage is because the enemy keeps reminding them of their old past. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know, man, I'm just lucky to be saved as bad as I was. Listen, that person doesn't exist anymore. That's been done away with. It said old things passed away. You know, the moment you were born again, the sinful nature was taken out of you and you become righteous and holy. Now, righteous, what's righteous mean? Righteous simply means right standing with God. That's what it means. Being righteous means to be, have right standing with God. You know, some people think that it's you got to dress a certain way and you got to act a certain way and so forth. But most all of those are religious rules that somebody put in. Now, the Bible does teach acting a certain way. The Bible does teach dressing in moderation and all those things. I realize that. But you see, there's some people, they take it to the extremes. That's what I'm trying to say. They say, well, if you don't wear your hair like this, you can't be saved. If you don't do this, you can't be saved. And that's not necessarily so. Okay? Now, you do have to live right. But that's another subject, okay? See, the moment that you were born again, faster than you can blink an eye, the Holy Spirit did spiritual surgery on you. He cut out the old man and he put in the new man. He removed the old sinful man and put in the new righteous man. The old sinful nature is gone. It's not there. You're no longer under that authority. You know, some people say, well, I can't understand why people do what they do. Well, it's real easy. It's real, real easy. That's their nature. That's who they are. They are not born again. That's who they are. When you become born again, then you live right because that's who you are. That's your nature. We become the righteousness of God in Christ. And that's another part of this. Right now I'm dealing with this part of it. We become a new creation. Our old sinful nature has passed away. You know, some people say, well, We got our sin sick soul healed. No, you didn't. The sin soul was taken out of you through the blood of Jesus. Your past is wiped clean. It does not exist anymore. Period. You know, somebody might say to you, you know, you go back and you talk about, they might say, well, you remember when we did so-and-so, when we did this? No, I don't remember that. And they say, I know better. I know who you are. You were there. And no, I wasn't there. Now, this body might have been there, but I wasn't there. See, the real man is the person that lives on the inside of you. That's the real person. That person, that old person that did those things has been done away with. And the new man is on the inside. See, the blood of Jesus makes us clean and changes us. And every wrong that ever existed is gone. It does not exist. You know, he says, and you know, a lot of people have trouble with condemnation, but they need to go read Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's that in Christ again. You go, they're in Christ. That's where it is. You know, it does not exist. Now somebody say, well, you know, the devil might try to bring a photo of or a picture and try to remind you, and you need to tell him, hey, that person doesn't exist. That doesn't exist. You see, God, when you are born again, you become a new person in Christ. He takes all the old away. He throws it away from you. You become a new person in Christ. The old man is gone, and you put on a new man, just like you put on a shirt or a coat. You put on the new man. The old man is gone. Now, another thing you need to know is that all things have become new. They have been replaced with new conditions. A new life begins. See, the spiritual reality exists in your life from the moment you're born again. The moment you're born again, you have a new identity in Christ. How many of you here, you have something that identifies you? I got a deal here. It says Oklahoma driver's license. Got my picture when I was born. And that identifies me who I am. You know, how many of you have been somewhere and they wanted, may I see ID? May I see some identification? Yeah. You have to show them your identification. You know, we travel out of the country all the time. And I have a passport that says I'm a U.S. citizen. That passport says who I am. And because I have that, I can have and demand the rights and privileges of a U.S. citizen. Yeah. How many of you have a birth certificate?
All of you do.
You can't get a Social Security card without it. But that birth certificate identifies who you are. It identifies your family. It identifies your sex. It identifies that you are a citizen of the United States of America. Because if you're born here, you're automatic citizen. That birth certificate has three identities with it. It identifies you as a person. My grandmother, she went on to be, she was 90 years old. She went to be with the Lord in 85. And that was 30 years ago. Now, when it got time after Grandpa died to apply for some Social Security, I remember, she didn't have a birth certificate. I mean, she was born, I mean, she was 90 years old in 85, when she died, so you can figure out when she was born. And some of you may, your grandparents or your great grandparents, the way they used to record people's birth was in the family Bible. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Now, we couldn't find that, so we had to go and find people and get affidavits from different people that she was who she said she was, and she was born when she said she was born. And because they said, as far as we're concerned, you don't exist. But she had to have the identity. When you get born again, you have identification with Christ. You're identified with Him. Now, with that identification comes rights and privileges. Just like there are rights and privileges with identification with your family, there are rights and privileges. There are rights and privileges with being a U.S. citizen. And so these give you rights and privileges. It's an identification thing. So identification in Christ gives you the right to demand what God said in this word right here belong to all of His family. You see, I have a right because I'm Kenneth Hagin, and I have a sister. We have the right to demand what belongs to us from our family. Hello. In fact, you know, as you're growing up, if it's dad's, it's yours. You just go get it out of the toolbox, and you don't bring it, go over, you know. You go over in the garage and get it, and because, hey, that's dad, so it's mine. You know, Craig, y'all all know Craig, don't you? Yeah, he preaches longer than me, too, though. But he's like his pawpaw. In fact, he reminds me a lot of his pawpaw speaking. The way he did, I see Sister Shirley shaking her head here because she knew Dad very well. But Craig was preaching somewhere, and Richie was with him. Richie King, he's been over here and leading the music. He's our crusade director and one of our head worship leader. And, you know, Craig was preaching, and so he said, I have a bass boat. This was years ago. Well, after the service, Rich said, Craig, you don't have a bass boat. He said, yes, I do. Dad has one. Because he's in my family. I got 5 grandsons. And they think that whatever Poppy has is theirs. And that they think that Poppy ought to do everything he can for them. And Poppy does. If I make it happen, I do make it happen. And so, I mean, I spoil those grandboys, but don't throw no stones at me. Huh? I probably got some grandparents in here that spoil their grandkids too. But you see, they have a right to do that because of who they are. They identify with Christ. Denise, my daughter, she's about 5 years old, I guess. Now, my dad's office was here and my office was here. She was running down the hall, coming down there. I don't know if she's going to his office or my office, and somebody stopped her and said, little girl, you can't do that. She wheeled around and she looked right up at him and said, do you know who I am? And turned around and took off running. She identified herself because of what her name was. She was telling them, this is who I am, and because of who I am, I have the right to do this. Come on now. That's what you need to get a hold of with your identification with Christ. When the enemy comes in trying to tell you it can't happen, you need to say, hey, do you know who I am? I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a child of God. See, with your identity comes the new rights and privileges. Then with your new identity in Christ, there are new benefits that belong to you. You know, because of, you know, now, Cliff, you know, he runs the sound back there. And Melinda, you know, she's in charge of the bookstore usually. You know, they work for Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Raymond. And they got a little identification card. Now, that tells me that they have certain rights and privileges because they work for Kenneth Hagin Ministries. How many of you, because you identify with where you work, there are rights and are benefits, not right, benefits. That's where I own benefits. There are benefits that belong with to you because you identify with that job. Huh? Yeah. Hey, see, we understand all this in the natural, but it works the same way in the spiritual side. But yet we don't cash in on it. Now, although those benefits are there, now at our place, once you work there a year, you get 2 weeks vacation. If you work there 5 years, you get 3 weeks. Now, I am not going to go down to the guy that's in charge of shipping and receiving. Oh, it's called distribution center now, isn't it? They changed the name. Y'all ever notice they change names on stuff? You know, like Kara here, the girl leading the music. Her mom is my, they call him administrative assistant. Now, they used to call him secretary. But, you know, I am not going to go down to distribution and tell Dan. Now, Dan Taylor, he's been over here. He's the short Afro-American boy that leads music sometimes, plays the piano and leads the music. Was he here last? Dan was here last. Oh, Dan was here last Sunday. Now, although he has, I think he's got 3 weeks. He's been there 5 years. I'm not going to go down there and say, "Hey, Dan, you're not taking advantage of your benefits." How many of you, the people come down and tell you, you know, the head man comes down and tell you, "Hey, you're not taking charge. You're not taking your benefits." No. But you know what? They give you a manual. Used to call it personnel manual. Now what's it called? HR manual. Yeah, that's it. That tells you what the benefits for working at that company are. Now, if you're going to get those benefits, you got to read that, find out what they are, and then go identify that yourself, that this is who I am and this what belongs to me. Am I right or wrong? That's what we have to do here. God has given us a manual. And it's got all of these benefits in it. Woo. But I'm going to tell you what. He's not going to come down there and knock you in the head and tell you, "Hey, you're not taking advantage of your benefits." He tells you to do something about it. You begin to know who you are in Christ. And because you're in Christ, you have benefits. You have a position. You have a new destination. You know. See, we have to learn how to live in the new conditions, in Him, in the new position. Are y'all there? Y'all going home already? You know, Dad put together this little book. It's out there, a mini book called In Him. Anybody ever seen that book? You know, it tells Christians how to live this new life in Christ. You don't have to wait. Some people say, "Oh, I'll be glad to get to heaven." Well, you can have some heaven to go with, heaven in down here if you learn how to cash in on the benefits because of who you are in Christ. There's probably, I don't know for sure. I haven't counted myself. I'm taking somebody else's word for it. But there's around 140 scriptures that contain the phrases in Christ, in Him, in whom, through whom, and in the Lord. You know, you need to get those scriptures and read them. You know, you need to get a hold of that little book He's already got them out there. Oh, you got one right there, don't you? You carry it in your Bible, looks like. There it is, right there. See, let me have that little book. Let me see that thing. Dad already, they went through, and right here in the back, now he writes about these scriptures and puts them in there, but right here in the back, he got all these scriptures right here listed in Christ, in him, in the beloved, in the Lord, in whom, by Christ, by him, by himself. See, these are all things we need to learn to live by. And then, pages sticking together. By his blood, by whom, from whom, of Christ, of him, through Christ, through him, with Christ, with him, by me, in my love, in his name. Man, all of these scriptures. We need to learn to get a hold of those and know what they are, meditate on them, think about them, quote them every day. You know, I get up every morning and I say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I can do all things today in Christ who strengthens me. All things. It's not talking about spiritual things. The scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, right? So, that means everything. It means anything that I need to do that day that Christ can give me the strength, the knowledge, the wisdom, the understanding to accomplish it. You know, you need to learn how to confess these scriptures. Dad said on page 9 in this book, he said, everything the Bible says is ours. It is legally ours. The Bible is a legal document sealed by the blood of Jesus. However, it's our believing and our confession or your confession which makes it a reality to you. It's a legal document. But you're going to have to do something about getting a hold of it. You could have a legal document in your hand that says that you have $1 million in the bank, but you don't understand that, you don't know what that document, you don't understand that document, so therefore you're living in poverty. See, the reason I say get in and read the scripture so you understand what the document says. That's the Bible. I believe it's Spurgeon that tells, Spurgeon was a great English preacher, great orator. In fact, you can still buy his published his sermons. He was such a pulpiteer. But I believe it's him that said he went in to visit a lady, and she was living in a shack in adjunct poverty. I mean, and he saw this document hanging on her wall. And he realized what it was. And so he asked her, he said, where did you get this document? And she said, well, I was the housemaid for this wealthy man and family. And when he died, he gave me this piece of paper. It means so much to me. I had it framed and it hangs on the wall. He said, could I take it? And she said, oh, no, I don't want to lose it. He said, it's very important. So he took it to the proper authorities. And it was a legal document leaving that man's whole estate to her. Yet she was living in poverty because she didn't know what she had. Do you understand that there are a lot of Christians that are living in the poverty level on the spiritual things and the things of God because they don't understand, they never got in the Word of God to understand what really belongs to them and then to claim it? See, that had belonged to her all that time. But she had to take, it was a legal document, she had to take it to the legal authorities and to ask for it. This is a legal document. You got to go before you. You can come boldly before the throne because of who you are, the right thing, and say, "Okay, Lord, this is what you said. Now I want what belongs to me because of who you are in Christ." Now you can choose to continue to live the way you want to live, but you can move over and begin to live the good life in Christ. I mean, you can go to heaven. There are a lot of people that go to heaven that never understand who they are in Christ and never take advantage of what the Bible says belongs to them. You know, little exhortation I got putting this together. Don't believe the devil's lie that you can't make it and things will never change. Instead, discover the new life that's been provided for you through the blood of Christ, and then you will begin to enjoy a new way of living in Him. Praise the Lord. Anybody get anything out of that tonight? I want you to get a hold of how important it is for you to understand who you are in Christ and begin to live in Christ according to the Word of God. It says you're the righteousness of God in Christ. It says I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In Christ, through Christ, with Christ, so forth and so on. Hallelujah. Father, I tried to talk to the people tonight to stir up their pure minds to get a hold of the fact that of who they are in Christ. I pray that we'll begin to live up to our rights and our privileges in Christ. Praise the Lord. With heads bowed, eyes closed, is anybody here that would say, I'm not born again, so I'm not in Christ, or I need to rededicate my life to God? Anybody anywhere, I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right, everybody stand. Do you know that song, I Know Who I Am? No, I Know Who I Am. Oh, you don't know that one. I wish you knew that one. We've been singing it. When I did this, as I know who I am, I know who I am. I'm yours and He's mine. You see, we got to know who we are. It's a good little song to sing. We'll learn it so we can sing it the next time. Because I'm going to talk on this again next time, okay, when I get to come. I'm going to talk on some more lessons that I have on in Christ. How many of you, did you enjoy this tonight? Did you get something out of it? Good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that would like to have prayer for healing? Okay, we'll pray over that. Yes. All right. Bring it right here. Let me have it.
Okay.
Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you right now for the healing power of God flow in this cloth when it's laid on that body. That healing power flow out. And whatever the sickness is, whatever the problem is, will be corrected in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Praise the Lord. We'll get a prayer cloth. We're getting one. Gary's got to come in here with it. Okay. Now, if you don't understand what we're doing, Acts 19:11-12 says they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they were laid on the sick and afflicted. The diseases left them, the evil spirits they left in Jesus' name. You also got to remember the woman with the issue of blood touched Jesus' garment. So healing power of God. Father, right now for this lymphoma, I thank you, the healing power of God flowing into this cloth when it's taken to this young lady. I thank you that that healing power will flow out. Cancer, you got to go in the name of Jesus. Every cancer cell has to die and leave that body, and that body become normal and whole and healthy in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. We believe in the Holy Spirit around here according to what the Bible says. Not somebody's church creed or doctrine. I can care less about that. But what the Bible says. The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 2:4. Anybody want to receive the Holy Spirit tonight? Well, praise the Lord. Well, trust you got something out of this tonight. Hey, next Sunday night, right here, praise the Lord, 6 o'clock, bring somebody with you. We're going to have a good time. Turn around, shake hands with somebody. Let me get back yonder to the door so I can shake your hand. And we'll see you next week. God bless.